Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
All right, good afternoon. I want to thank the members of the media who are here. I am New York State Senator and Senate Republican Leader Rob Ort. We are here. I want to thank our host, Niagara County Clerk Joe Jastrzemski. We're here at the North Tonawanda DMV, which is fitting, given that we're here to talk about the green light law, which was passed several years ago. I think it was 2019, actually, here in New York State. So this is a law that has been in force for several years. I have spoken about it a lot when it was passed. I did a press conference on this law specifically in Lewiston last year with Mayor Ann Welch, with Lewiston Supervisor Steve Broderick, and others. And that came out of a meeting I had with Border Patrol at the time about how the green light law was hampering local law enforcement. By legal definition, hampering them from working with federal immigration authorities and effectively undermining or making it harder, certainly, to enforce federal immigration law. You couldn't argue otherwise. The law literally does that. And for a long time, when it comes to immigration and other laws, New York takes the position that we can abide by some federal laws, we cannot abide by other federal laws. But the reality is, if it's federal law, it is federal law for New York, for California, for Texas, Florida, and everywhere in between. The reason we're here today talking about it again is because with the incoming President Donald J. Trump administration, his border czar, Tom Homan, recently put the spotlight back on this law. He criticized this law specifically. Now, you think he's the incoming border czar. He's got a long history with immigration and border policy. He's got 50 states. I'm sure he's got a lot on his plate. And yet the green light law, you know, stood out early on for him. He criticized it as dangerous and protecting illegal immigrants from federal law enforcement. The state's refusal to share information on driver's licenses and motor vehicles with federal agents puts federal investigators and the public in danger, and absolutely has no has to change, according to Tom Homan. When this law was passed, it's important to remember it was sold, as I'm sure my colleague Angela Morinello, who was there, will tell you, and certainly Joe Jastrzemski can remember this. It was sold as this was just about driver's licenses for people who were in the state illegally, but who had to get to work. Right? They wanted to get to work. They wanted to get to their job, their medical appointment. So it was more of a humane thing to allow them to drive around. Now, funny part is, in New York City, almost no one drives the average person. So most of these folks are in New York City, predominantly, not exclusively, but most of them do not own a car, are not driving a car, unless they're an Uber driver or a cab driver or something along those lines. And so that was a little bit questionable as far as the rationale. But what we found out is there's much more in this law than driver's licenses. This is really about protecting. It's offering another shield, a legal shield, to protect those in the country illegally from federal immigration and the enforcement of federal immigration law. And this is not the only law that does this, as I will touch on here. There are a number of other sanctuary policies. These go hand in hand with those. The idea that federal law or local law enforcement cannot notify ICE if there's someone in their jail that they suspect or know to be in the country illegally. In fact, they could be prosecuted for a crime if they do so. Now, that hasn't happened, but that is what the law allows could happen if, in fact, local law enforcement did reach out to ICE and say, hey, Jose Ibarra, we picked him up again, and we know he's in the country illegally. Now, Jose Ibarra is not a made-up name. That's a real individual that was really arrested by the NYPD here in the country illegally, was released partly because of cashless bail, but also with these kinds of laws, no notification was made to ICE, and Jose Ibarra didn't show up for court, went to a different state, ultimately has been convicted of killing Lake and Riley. So sanctuary policies and these kinds of policies provide a sanctuary, no doubt about it, but they provide one for people like Jose Ibarra instead of people like Lake and Riley. Border Patrol says more illegal migrants were arrested crossing the northern border in last year than the previous 17 years combined. So why is that important? Obviously, that's where we are here. That was the meeting we had with Border Patrol last year. It was really focused on the northern border and the uptick in crossings from there. A lot of that, some of that has to do with Canada's immigration policies and laws. And so obviously there's things we can and can't do regarding that, but it's important that when we talk about illegal crossings, this is not just something happening in Texas or in Arizona or New Mexico or California, but it is impacting Western New York communities and Northern New York communities. Encounters at the northern border have increased by nearly 82% from fiscal year 2022 to fiscal year 2024, going from 109,000 to 199,000, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. In New York State, border encounters increased by more than 41%, 81,000 in 2022 to 115,000 in 2024. It's become apparent to residents who live along New York's 445-mile border with Canada, known as the North Country. It's not uncommon to have migrants who enter the country illegally walking through cornfields, sleeping in their barns, campers, sitting on their porches, washing their hands in their pools, or even flagging down school buses for a ride, according to several residents who spoke in a recent Newsday article. We had similar issues this time last year along the river in Lewiston and Youngstown. There were suspicious vehicles in the area, and law enforcement, by law, wasn't allowed to ask their federal partners for any help. In fact, doing so is a felony offense under current law. I want to highlight two bills that are going to be reintroduced or have been reintroduced for this session. Lakin's Law, which is Senate Bill 8533, sponsored by Senator Lanza, would override a 2017 executive order from then Governor Cuomo, who handcuffed federal law enforcement, including ICE, from working with state and local partners when it comes to dealing with suspected illegal immigrants. And Senate Bill 2147, Assembly Bill 5145, sponsored in the Senate by Senator Dan Steck, who represents the North Country. Under green light federal law, state and local law enforcement are not allowed to coordinate their efforts in addressing illegal northern border crossings. This bill would repeal the green light law and would restore cooperation between all levels of law enforcement agencies. I'm a co-sponsor of both of those bills. Again, working to end New York sanctuary status, withholding funds from sanctuary cities and prohibiting the use of taxpayer funds and taxpayer-funded programs to benefit those who are in this country illegally. That is how we're going to stop the issue that we've had where we have over 200,000 illegal migrants in the state of New York who require housing, who require food, who require health care, who require education on their children's side, and unfortunately, in many cases, are either the victims of crime or are the perpetrators of crime. That is a reality, certainly in the city of New York. And if you don't believe me, go onto Twitter, go onto X, and you can see the videos yourself. And that doesn't include the law enforcement officer who was assaulted by five people who were in this country illegally. I think it was last year, the year before. I want to thank Congresswoman Claudia Tenney for reintroducing the Red Light Act, a bill that would strip federal highway funding from the states that issue driver's licenses and IDs to illegal immigrants. I also want to commend congressional efforts in passing the Lake and Riley Act, which would change federal law to require ICE, operating under Homeland Security Department, to issue detainers and take custody of people in the country illegally who commit theft-related crimes, including shoplifting. Americans overwhelmingly voted. This last election cycle, you cannot tell me that in New York and other places, this issue was a prime issue. The complete lack of a border strategy, the complete lack of a border policy, and a securing of the federal border, and what that has meant for various states, as well as states enacting laws like we have in New York, played a huge role and who was elected in November, and it's time for lawmakers to get back to work making America safe again. And I just want to sort of bring it back before I introduce my colleague, Assemblyman Angelo Morinello. We're talking about prohibiting law enforcement takes an oath, whether you're an FBI agent, whether you're an ICE agent, or a sheriff. You take an oath to the Constitution, to the state of New York, to protect and serve. You don't get to decide which laws you like or don't like. That is not their role. That is for lawmakers. If we think a law is a bad law, we change it. If you think a federal law is a bad law, run for Congress, run for U.S. Senate, run for president. But you do not get to decide at the state of New York, we're not going to enforce these laws, or we're going to actively undermine and make an already dangerous job more difficult. The one thing I heard time and time again, I didn't know this, I don't know it from experience, but I know it from every law enforcement officer I've spoken to. The most dangerous thing a law enforcement officer does at any level is a traffic stop. To pull someone over and not be able to know who's in that vehicle, who it's registered to, you're taking away an awareness, and you're increasing a blind spot for a law enforcement officer who now has to get out of their vehicle and go into a situation that they know nothing about that individual or who that car is owned by. That is a shame on us that we have done that in the state of New York. And that's what Tom Homan is saying, and we've been saying for several years now. So we're hoping that these laws will get some traction, and that the federal government can put some pressure on the state of New York. And I will say that again. I hope they're going to have to put pressure. My colleagues in the Democratic Conference who passed these laws are not suddenly going to have an epiphany, unfortunately, and decide to change them. They're going to need to have pressure put on them to change them. And if that needs to happen, it should happen. Because this is wrong, what we are doing right now. And at this time, I want to call up no stranger to this issue, both from a local perspective here in Western New York, as a judge, someone who administered the law, interpreted the law, and someone who knows it very well and has spent his entire life trying to serve justice, both as a judge and now as an assemblyman, and that is my good friend Angelo Morinello.
Thank you, Senator. I want to thank County Clerk Joe Jastrzemski for hosting this. My district is the 145th Assembly District. It encompasses the Niagara River and Lake Ontario up to the borderline of the town of Wilson. This is the area that the uptick in the illegals coming across from Canada is affected the most. Last winter, we ran into anonymous cars parked in houses that this law enforcement, our sheriff's department, our local police knew were on vacation or they were snowbirds, but the federal authorities could not check that license plate to see whether or not it was local. It was something strange, but they had no authority to stop, no authority to look. And if they had called the local sheriffs or the local police, they would have committed a felony just by trying to protect that particular piece of property. And what would happen is this: there would be arrangements for cars to pick up the illegals coming over from Canada, either on the river or the lake. And these are the automobiles that were being spotted, but nothing could have been done about it. It's about public safety. And one of the arguments that I've heard is, well, it makes the roads safer because they will be better drivers because we give them a license. I know a lot of people, and I see a lot of people with licenses that aren't illegal immigrants that are bad drivers. So giving a driver's license is not a ticket to a good driver. It's just another way of protecting those that came into this country not the way it was prepared for them to come, like my ancestors did, but came through an illegal method. And you're wondering why there's been such an uptick coming in from Canada. Well, Canada allows, without visas, individuals coming into that country, and I want to say something like 760 or 780 different countries. So what the coyotes have started to do is they are flying these illegals. They're paying for them to fly because, if you remember, they're all indebted to the coyotes because they charge them. They're flying them to Montreal and bringing them across through the Adirondacks, or they're flying them into Toronto and bringing them across either Lake Ontario or the Niagara River. So when people talk about, well, the northern border, it's safe, it's not happening. It's happening. The reality is there. And in order to protect the citizens of this country, the citizens of the 145th who are experiencing the uptick in the illegals coming into their backyards, going into their garages, actually going into their homes because they know they're not there. These are observed. We have to get some sense of commonality, and we have to get some sense of reality in addressing these issues. And it's not about, from my perspective, yes, it's about the illegals, but it's about protecting the individuals, protecting the police, and knowing who is in your district, who is coming across the bridges, who's driving around the state of New York. Thank you. And with that, I want to introduce my colleague, Paul Bologna, who will say a few comments.
Thank you very much, Judge. Thank you for being here today, and thank you, Senator Ort, for putting this together, and thank you, Clerk Duszynski, for hosting this event. As a matter of practicality, when this bill was passed in 2019, I believe, the federal government restricted or altered some trusted traveler programs, which impacted folks looking to get, whether it was a Nexus pass, get something renewed to get into Canada. So this is also a practical issue for our residents, for employers, for employees who may have international business in Canada. And make no mistake, what New York State, which I assume we will be doubling down on these sanctuary state policies in the next couple months, which I think is incredibly inadvisable, because the federal government has made clear, and again, I agree with the federal government on this point of view. What the green light law essentially says, and the message that it sends, is that we are more concerned of the transitory convenience of folks that might be in this country illegally, rather than the safety of our officers and the economic prosperity of our residents. And that is an issue. And Senator Ort said it best, shame on us if that is the message that we want to send. In addition to which, Sheriff Filicetti also made a really good point. After 9/11, all of our law enforcement agencies' apparatus had worked harmoniously together after that point. They were sharing information. And at a time in our country, in our state, when domestic and international terrorism are on the rise, I think it's very ill-advised that we limit any of our law enforcement agencies from sharing information as a matter of national security and public safety. So thank you very much for being here today, and I will turn it over to Clerk Duszynski.
Thank you, Paul. First of all, I'd like to thank Senator Ort for once again bringing forth this, issue here in our North Tonawanda office. It was back in 2019, Senator Ort, in this very building, came here and bring forth to speak out against the green light law, along with my fellow clerks here in the Western region. We all collectively stood together and spoke very much against this law, because it's a bad law in many ways. One, it opens up the door to so many unscrupulous people to be able to go out there. And as you well know, it was just back in December, the Department of Justice just arrested five people because they were helping over 1,000 that they know of illegal immigrants get their documents. They're charging like $1,400 to be able to get a driver's license, without really obtaining it the proper way. Number two, what has taken place now, and it was brought to my attention, we all know what happened a few years ago back in downstate New York with a lot of people being killed by a limousine driver, and with the limousines and the laws changed, and our limousine companies got to go all through all kinds of different things. If an illegal immigrant has a driver's license, they can now just come into a local DMV office and upgrade their driver's license to Class E driver's license by paying the money. And that'll allow them to go out, drive a limousine, that'll allow them to go out and drive a taxi, that'll allow them to go out and drive any kind of livery vehicle whatsoever. And, you know, this is an illegal immigrant going out there and doing that without the proper training, and all they got to do is come in, fill out the paperwork, and pay the additional fee. There's something wrong with that. There's no safeguards there to protect an illegal immigrant from going out there and registering to vote. You know what our downstate legislators did? They changed the law so if an illegal immigrant did get caught registering to vote and voting illegally, you know, they're no longer just going to give them a slap in the hand. And I know what's taking place. I've talked to many of my fellow colleagues in downstate New York where legal immigrants are obtaining their driver's license, and they are registering to vote. There's no safeguard whatsoever. We know, as our staff members would know, whether an illegal immigrant was registering, but yet they can't say anything, and there's no safeguard to stop it. So once again, this was a bad law that was introduced in 2019, and it continues to be show us here in New York State how really bad it really is. With that said, I'll turn it back over to Senator Orr.
Thank you, Mr. County Clerk. I do want to also recognize Irene Meyer from our Niagara County Legislature, who is here and who has stood with me anyways on this issue. The last two times, I know we've spoken about it, both up in Lewis and Youngstown there and here today. So it's, again, you can sort of take your pick as to how this law impacts, whether you want to look at it locally as a northern border community, if you want to look at it writ large across the state of New York, or even nationally, how it impacts this national dialogue that we're having around deporting. And this is what I want to say. Tom Homan is talking about deporting people who are here legally and who have criminal records, gang members, people who've committed additional crimes both in the United States or in other countries before they got here. It is hard for me to fathom that there are elected officials in New York who would work to protect those individuals quite specifically, that would be more important than protecting law-abiding New Yorkers of any ethnicity. I don't care what your background is. If you're a tax-paying, legal resident of the state of New York, that is who we should work to protect, because that is who we work for. That is who elected us. Period. End of the discussion as far as Rob Work is concerned. And so with that, we'll happy to take questions from our friends in the media. If you just want to identify, you know, what station or whatever, and then who your question is for. If it's for everybody, that's fine. If it's for specifically me or Angelo or Paul or Joe, let me know.
I'm Kristen with Channel 7. Question pretty much for everyone.
Sure.
I know the border czar has said, or Trump's border czar has said, that he would like to lock New York State driver's license. Coming into back into New York from Canada.
Sure.
Should New York State not share DMV information? Your thoughts on that?
Sure. Yeah. Look, I think we're all in the, you know, just like in Albany the other day, as an example, the governor talked about we're not going to raise taxes this year's budget. The assembly speaker said we're going to raise taxes. So you have some posturing and I think Tom Homan. No doubt the president's direction is, you know, he's trying to set the stage, right? There's some, I don't want to say negotiation, but there's some posturing, I don't use that term in a negative way, to say, look, this is what's on the table. These are things that could be looked at. I go to Canada. I was engaged in Niagara on the Lake. I go there a couple times a year. The last thing I want to do is be stuck up there, although without Trudeau, I feel a little bit better about my chances, but the reality is, I think that's an idea that's, you know, we're in that, it's being floated. But I think that the point is that New York needs to at least come to the table in some regard to say we may need to make changes to laws like the green light law. I'd love to see it repealed. I realize that the political reality of that or likelihood might not be as great as I would like it to be. That's my negotiating position. Repeal it. But if they even came and said, we're going to allow sharing of information between law enforcement, especially in instances where they deem that it's in the public safety interest or interest of national security, even that would be a huge step forward that I would support. I know our sheriff would, and I'm sure folks at Border Patrol and CBP would. So, I look at it, I take it in the vein that it is until that's being enacted or something like that, then maybe there's a different conversation. But I think he's putting down on the table that saying, if New York is just unwilling to cooperate, and if we're going to actively, because if you're the federal government, you have to see this as actively working against your men and women's efforts to do their job and making their job more difficult and more dangerous. So if you have a state that's going to do that, well, then there's going to be repercussions, is what he's saying. And those repercussions could extend to X.
And then, I guess, Chris, you mentioned that you were going to speak with them about this, and they said, should federal authorities need information, they can subpoena or obtain a warrant. Is that not enough?
No, it's not. Why should they have to issue a subpoena or go through that process? By that time that happens, that person is gone. We need to move fast. These people, because don't forget, we have the laws in New York around criminal justice. It's really hard to end up in jail for any length of time anymore while you're awaiting trial or while you're awaiting anything. So, and there's a host of other laws. And this is an important nuance, maybe. So New York State, and this is tied to the Lake and Riley law. The state of New York, I think it was 2 years ago, actually changed a law regarding the amount of time you could be in jail. They reduced it so that it would not trigger, because if you're in jail, if you're in custody for 365 days, it could trigger automatic deportation proceedings. They reduced it by a day or two so that no one could be incarcerated for any longer than 365, so that deportation proceedings exclusively would not be triggered. So there's clearly an effort by the state of New York, singly focused on undermining federal immigration law and federal immigration authority. They actually worked, I know ICE several years ago, they were going to courts, trying to be at court, so when people came to court, they could intersect them there. That's how bad the state, there's no state in the country that should take that approach in the public safety realm. And by the way, when the DMV says that, I read that as, like someone saying, well, you can fill out a FOIL request. Now, you in the media know how those go a lot of times. You can fill it out. You know, who knows when you'll see it or how much it'll be redacted, or you'll be told, well, because of this one thing, we can't actually provide it. And so it's kind of a you-know-what answer, right? And that's what the answer is. And that's how I can promise you the federal authorities see that. Fill out go get a subpoena. If you can get one, go get a warrant. And again, you got to have a judge sign off on that, whether it's a federal judge or whatever. So I think there's no reason we shouldn't have that. Most states do not have laws like this. Most states have a much more cooperative aspect. I think it was somebody mentioned Sheriff Filicetti, and he's right. After 9/11, there was all this talk about federal law enforcement having these silos, right? FBI didn't talk to CIA, didn't talk to state. And that was a big thing. And that was actually, if I recall correctly, that was listed as one of the reasons why some people thought maybe 9/11 happened, because there wasn't a sharing of information. I don't know if that's true, but the bottom line is we should work to allow law enforcement agency in this day and age to share information as easily as possible, especially in 2025, when most of us can share information readily. We're telling law enforcement we're going to make it more difficult. And again, I think the message is clear. We want to protect people that are in this country illegally. We want to protect, including violent criminals. Think about the individual who lit that woman on fire on the subway. Now, I had a hard time watching that video. I'm sure everyone here did too, and I'm sure most people did. But this is the kind of person, that individual is protected under this law. Jose Ibarra is protected under this law, under these kinds of laws. And I think Tom Holman and a lot of us and a lot of voters are saying that has to stop. This has gotten ridiculous. The reason they were all passed to begin with, in most cases, in a lot of cases. They were passed after President Trump won in 2016. It was almost passed as like a, there were Democrats, particularly downstate, who wanted to do a 180 to show they were the most anti-Trump, right? So President Trump ran on immigration the first time, and so they were going to pass the opposite. We were going to go and basically create de facto citizenship. Give them a driver's license, give them health care, and there has even been efforts in the city of New York and in New York State to allow individuals here illegally to vote. It's very clear what the ultimate goal is for some of my colleagues, and I want it to be very clear what my goal is. The reestablishment of U.S. constitutional law, federal immigration law, and empowering our local law enforcement officers to work with their federal partners and not have to wonder, am I going to get prosecuted by some crusading DA because I am working? Because I can promise you there are a lot of local law enforcement that are working with federal immigration officials. They're working it because that's their job, but they could be, if in the wrong circumstance, they could be prosecuted, and that's wrong.
May I comment on her question,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
As a retired judge, when you made the comment and asked the question, they can get a subpoena, okay, or they can get a court order. The incidences I was referring to that were on the river, they were 11 o'clock at night, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. In order to get a subpoena or to get a court order, you actually have to fill out an application. You have to have a reason. Then you have to have a judge that's sitting. The courts are not open. The courts don't work on weekends. So ultimately, like my colleague Senator Ort said, they're gone. And to clarify, as a judge, we have two categories of crime, misdemeanors and felonies. The simple definition of a misdemeanor was any crime that could give you 1 year, up to 1 year incarceration in a local facility. The 1 year would trigger the ability to have that person deported. They reduced it by 1 day to 364 days. Now, most judges and most lawyers don't even know that. But now a misdemeanor, the maximum penalty is 364 days of incarceration. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Just to say, people should be appalled to think that an illegal immigrant can get a driver's license that looks just like mine, just like yours, and be able to go out there, go underground, and get lost, as the senator said, once they got arrested and were released. And they should also be appalled that they can get a Class E license without any formal training, without anything, go drive a taxi cab, go drive a limousine, and go out there and possibly hurt somebody that they're driving. Could be one of your family members. It could be, you know, anybody. But the bottom line is, this law is a bad law. It should be repealed. And I stood before you in 2019. And I stand before you again, and I'd like to thank my state colleagues for bringing forth this issue and along with our federal government. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
And then just overall here, is there any instance that any one of you can point to where the Greenlight Law has hurt public safety?
Well, I can. I mean, if our sheriff was here, so the problem with your premise, your question is you won't know because they can't share the information. So every time someone's arrested in New York City that's here illegally, they can't notify federal officials. You don't know, so you don't know who that person is. That the federal immigration never gets to do their job. I'll use the Jose Ibarra. Now that's more on the bail and Lakin's law, but this is a person that was arrested here in New York. Lakin Riley would be alive if NYPD had notified federal immigration officials when he was arrested the second time. Not when he was picked up for being here illegally, when he was arrested for other crimes under our law. She's dead. He's going to be in jail in Georgia, hopefully for the rest of his life. But it was New York laws that led him to Georgia, that prevented him from being detained and deported by ICE. He didn't show up for court because had he been convicted here in New York, he might have deportation proceedings may have been, ICE might have been able to issue a detainer. So I think the challenge, and I think I had this question a year ago, is that you don't always know because right now it's not working. So the idea that somehow no one's been hurt by saying that federal immigration authorities can't do the job that federal immigration law demands is nonsense. It's a non-starter nonsense to me. Who is hurt? The people of the United States of America who voted for those laws, who voted for the enforcement of those laws. And if you don't like those laws federally, then they should be changed. But they are currently the law of the land. Every time a law is disobeyed, we're all the victims. Yes.
You kind of briefly touched up on this, but just a little bit more clarification. What could the incoming Trump administration do to either block or prevent the green light law?
So, yeah, so we obviously Tom Holman mentioned, you know, keeping me and my wife in Canada when we try to come back, when we go up there. I said that, look, I think that's it's on the table, obviously. But I think when it comes to federal funding, you know, there's Congresswoman Tenney has a bill that would enshrine that in law. But no doubt the federal government could operate from that perspective, just as I've encouraged the state of New York to stop sending the level of funding to New York City until they change their sanctuary city laws, right? I mean, so I think you have to use the power of the purse, because that, to me, in my time in government, that works the best. That works the fastest. Yes. If they think there's funding, now New York already complains. You're already hearing the governor complain about SALT and how we spend more money to D.C. We don't get it all back. So you can bet that if she thought there'd be more on the hook, that might get at least them to the table to say, now that we have your attention, let's talk about ways that federal immigration officials can work more closely with New York PD, which is the big one, as well as state police, and obviously local, Niagara County Sheriffs, Erie County Sheriffs. But I think the big one, you know, the NYPD, state police, that kind of thing. How do we have access to the DMV database? So if our folks, if Border Patrol pulls over a car one night, we have a way to know who the heck's sitting in that car, who it's registered to, and all of that kind of stuff, right? By the way, which is what they have when you and I get stopped. Not that we get stopped, but if we were to get stopped, right, they would know. They would know it's registered to Rob Ort, which was who I expect to be sitting in the driver's seat, right? Or, you know, with my wife. And they wouldn't expect some other random person to be in that car. But in the case of illegals, you wouldn't know that. So I think the purse strings, which I think the federal government certainly can do, whether it's federal highway dollars, whether it's New York City gets a host of Department of Homeland Security dollars, things like that, I think need to be put on the table to bring some of the left-leaning politicians to heel. Because let's be honest, they're going to think this is great politics for them. I'm standing up to Donald J. Trump. They're standing up to Donald J. Trump on behalf of people like Jose Ibarra, on behalf of people like the man who lit that lady on fire in the subway. That's who they're standing up to Donald J. Trump on behalf of. So it's not always who you're standing up to, it's who you're standing up for. I'd like to think I'm standing up for law-abiding New Yorkers, legal residents, taxpayers who should expect the law to be administered across the board. They'd like to stand up for people who are here illegally and who want to commit additional crimes. So the choice should be very clear to New Yorkers as to who's on what side here.
Very good. Follow up on his question. Do you think this should be a federal decision, or do you think states should be able to make these laws themselves?
What should be a federal decision?
Do you think the federal government should make this green light law or revoke the green light law as federally, or do you think each state should be able to?
So New York, it's a New York state law.
Right.
The federal government can't revoke the law. Only we can. But the federal government can take reciprocating action as a result of the law. I don't think any state should be able to pass a law that runs counter to federal law, right? You can exceed federal law if you want to go further, but you can't go below, right? That's standard civics 101. So the state of New York doesn't get to decide that, you know what, on this immigration law, we don't think that's as good, so we're gonna pass laws that run counter to it. That is nonsense. And that's the kind of thing I think that the federal government needs to nip, and I hope this administration will, across the board, that states do not get to do their own immigration policy. Immigration is the exclusive realm of the federal government, right? There are certain things the federal government does. State of New York doesn't get to declare war. We don't get to sign international treaties. We also don't get to set immigration policy. Those are exclusively the realm of the federal government. Now, I understand some of my colleagues will say, well, the federal government hasn't acted. Okay? Then I would encourage you to put your name on a ballot and run for Congress. Put your name on a ballot and run for U.S. Senate, and then maybe you can be the person that actually breaks the loggerhead. But the reality is that New York State does not get to set our own immigration policy and does not get to tell our local law enforcement, you don't get to, you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but on this one, we're going to ask you to kind of like turn a blind eye and not work with ICE, Border Patrol. That's what this law does. It actually makes law enforcement officers have to make a choice. Do I do the job I was hired to do, or do I turn a blind eye and say, well, it's not my problem? And that's what I think is going on here, and I think needs to be dealt with. So the federal administration, I support President Trump's agenda on immigration with regards to deporting people in this country illegally, particularly those who have committed crimes before they got here or after they're here. I support that. And I support any effort to try and do that. The green light law stands in sharp contrast to, and makes that much harder, obviously, right? And so something's going to have to give. I expect this will not be the last conversation that we hear or have about it. But, you know, this law specifically has been a problem before Tom Homan mentioned it, but certainly since he's talked about it, I thought it was worthwhile, and I know my colleagues did, and in Albany we're going to talk about it. But this law, you know, it's on the radar of the national government, of the federal administration, of the President Trump administration, and that puts New York right in the crosshairs on this one, out of the gate, as it should.
And then where we go from here, essentially, you guys have pushing for this in Albany?
Yeah, I think where we go from here, I mean, we'll see obviously what happens in those discussions. We just want to make sure that the governor, and I'll be meeting with her, I'm sure, soon here in the new year, as I usually do. I know my colleague Angelo Mornello, Paul Bologna, you know, these are conversations that I'm sure we will have in the legislative branch. But I think the governor, again, this is the current law, so the governor and her executive agencies, i.e. state police, DMV, the people that run those agencies work for the governor. How they enforce laws, you know, we pass them, they enforce them. So, you know, the best way for it would be to be a program bill. One of those agencies would send down some kind of change or would put something out that says, we're going to enforce this differently in light of X, Y, and Z, but that's not going to happen just by itself. We're going to have to keep pressure and I think be talking about this. And again, I think people need to understand what this law is. You hear green light law. Everyone loves green lights, right? It means go, it means a good thing, right? I think people need to understand this is a lot more than just driver's licenses. This, the ramifications. I mean, a driver's license is not an easy thing to just get. And there's a reason for that, right? There's a driver's license gets you into a lot of other things as New Yorkers and as Americans. And so a driver's license is a big deal. But again, I think this is about a lot more than just driver's licenses. We want to make sure people understand that. And if the governor says, well, President Trump and Tom Homan, they're just being mean. No, they're trying to do a job that they were elected to do. They're trying to do a job that federal law says they have to do. They're trying to do a job that we expect them to do. And New York is making that harder, more dangerous, and in some cases impossible.
Excellent side. Well said.
And making FOIL legislation easier?
Hey, well, look, we could talk about that all day long. Yeah. Do you like how I weed that in there? Well, I appreciate you guys coming out, though. Really,
thank
I appreciate
you.
It. I know it's Friday, and it's probably a crazy day, so.